The following is a recording from Maria Barona from iAdvise on Wednesday, July 29, 2015 at 9 a.m. Central. Pantera second quarter 2015. Good morning. My name is Josh and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Pantera Earnings Conference Call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After this presentation, we will conduct a question and answer session. Instructions on how to ask a question will be given at that time. Thank you for your attention. I will now turn the call over to Enrique Barrera, Investor Relations for Gentera. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you all for joining us and for your continued interest in Gentera. I'm Enrique Barrera, the company's Investor Relations Officer. I'm very pleased to introduce our management team. With us today is Mr. Carlos Danel, Chairman of the Board, Mr. Enrique Mayor, Compartamos Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Patricio Diez de Bonilla, Chief Financial Officer. They will review the results of Gentera as one of the various operating and newsworthy items for each of the subsidiaries for the second quarter period as per the report that was issued yesterday. If you didn't receive a copy of the release, or if you have any questions, please do not hesitate to contact our Investor Relations Department in Mexico City. If you are a member of the media, we ask you to contact us directly. Please note that during this presentation, Gentera may make forward-looking statements. These do not account for future economic circumstances, industry conditions, company performance, or financial results. Additional information on forward-looking statements can be found in the disclaimer located in our earnings release. I would now like to turn the call over to Mr. Carlos Danel for his presentation. Carlos, please, go ahead.
Thank you, Enrique, and good morning to everyone. We appreciate you taking the time to join us today on our conference call. I'm pleased to report another positive quarter for Gentera, highlighting that for this quarter we are including the integration of Intermex to our subsidiaries, which I will go over in a few minutes. Results for the second quarter of 2015 are in line with our expectations and in some ways somewhat different of the typical seasonal behavior of our business. As you might recall, traditionally the first half of the year tends to be stagnant in terms of growth, especially in the number of clients served. On the first semester of 2015, we have seen stronger growth in number of clients served, mostly as a result of the rebates introduced in our client loyalty program introduced this year and discussed on our last conference call. This quarter alone, we saw growth of over 3% in the number of clients served, about the same growth we saw in 2014 as a whole. However, loan amount from growth in absolute clients is still on the early stages. And as expected, Portafolio Gentera grew 13.4% year-on-year, which is on track for the guided growth for 2015 and typical for the dynamic where most of the portfolio growth comes in the second semester. I will review the guidance figures at the end of my presentation, but I can anticipate that they have not changed. First, let me review the main indicators of Gentera during the second quarter before moving on to more depth look in our various operations. Total loan portfolio for Gentera stood at 25.5 billion pesos. This growth was driven by the increase in total loans of their subsidiaries, with Banco Compartamos increasing 13.4%, Compartamos Financiera in Peru with 12.1%, and Compartamos in Guatemala with 36.9% increase, all compared to the second quarter of 2014. Now, net income for the second quarter was 680 million pesos, a 3.8% increase compared with the second quarter of 2014, while net income for the first half of the year was 1.4 billion, a 10.4% increase compared with the first half of 2014. Again, this is on track with our expected guidance for the year. Now, average loan amount was 8,528 pesos, which is 9.7% higher versus the second quarter of 2014, which in part has been driven by the renowned growth in greater rates of the individual lending product, which, as you know, has higher ticket size. Overall asset quality improved with NPLs in the second quarter of 2015 of 3.04% versus 3.58% in the first quarter of this year. Most notably, individual lending in Mexico has NPLs of 2.89%, a vast improvement from 6.82% a year ago, and a strong base to start growing faster for the immediate future. Now, overall, Banco Compartamos growth was driven mainly by the Crédito Comerciante, Crédito Crece Mejor, as well as Crédito Individual, which as a group is growing around 30% year over year. These growth rates bring Compartamos closer to our goal, becoming a multi-product company while at the same time becoming a multi-country operation. As such, the bank concluded the quarter with 656 service offices needed to better serve our clients, and also includes the incorporation of Intermex branch infrastructure, which was one of the main drivers of the acquisition and the first synergy to be implemented. Enrique and Patricio will share the financial results at length later on during the presentation. However, I just want to mention that efficiency ratio suffered a deterioration from previous levels, which we consider to be temporary, and which is mostly driven by a rebate strategy related on the client loyalty program. Because of the rebates implemented to draw in new clients, margins decreased this quarter slightly, and even though expenses were in line with expectations, the reduction in income brought our efficiency ratio up to 68.5% from our guided rate of mid-60s range. It is important to note that rebates are 100% controlled by us and not the result of competitive pressures or on margins. So it is a strategy that we can and will adjust for the remainder of the year to bring back efficiency ratios to our guided mid-60s range. Now moving on to Peru, Compartamos Financiera continues to evolve at a solid pace. As I mentioned in the past conference call, this is a market we're extremely committed to, and we're very pleased with the dynamics that we see going on there. Evidence of this commitment took place at the end of May when we capitalized Financiera with 100 million soles, or close to $31 million, for the purpose of improving the company's risk profile. This entailed strengthening the company's solvency ratio to improve its credit rating and reduce financial costs. This capital infusion was not driven by regulatory requirements, as we comply with those requirements with sufficient margins since we bought the company a few years ago. On a year-on-year comparison, the total portfolio in Peru grew 12%, in line with client growth at 13%. Total clients stood at 247,000, highlighting that of those customers, 93,000 come from the group methodology, which, as you might recall, is one of the driving strategies of the acquisition by introducing group lending in environments where it currently is underserved. Now, in Guatemala, the strategy has been to improve asset quality. We are already seeing solid evidence of improvements in this area, and as a result of this process, Compartamos Guatemala's NPLs reached 2% compared to 5% a year ago. Loan portfolio grew 37% on a year-on-year basis and 16% with the previous quarter. With regards to the number of active clients, this figure is once again on the rise, serving 64,000 clients, 7% more compared to the first quarter of 2015. We're excited to see Guatemala's NPL ratio improve and reinstate growth as our key entrance to Central America. Now, Yasta, our banking correspondent network manager, executed close to 3 million transactions, out of which 330,000 were financial transactions or banking transactions that came through the network. That is over 67% more transactions than in the prior quarter. Additionally, the number of affiliates of this period reached 2,090 in our network. The support that Yasta delivers to the company is unparalleled, as it will become a new driver for reaching new markets. Now, for the customer addition of convenient financial transactions in local mom-and-pop stores in the communities will help them save time and money and reduce transaction costs. Now, as you know, the construction of the Yasta network is crucial for a savings product. But we're seeing unanticipated positive results in our lending operation as well, by having Yasta play an ever more important part of our channel network for Compartamos. Intermex, the new of Gentera's subsidiaries, has just been consolidated into the operation. At Intermex specifically, the services range from payments, remittances, and currency exchange. This subsidiary, as you might recall, has a network of 60 branches and over 1,000 correspondents. It also has agreement with over 39 wire offices in the U.S. that serve the entire U.S. territory. During the second quarter of 2014, Intermex executed more than 1 million transactions, handling more than 4 billion pesos. As of now, 8 of its 60 branches are handling Banco Compartamos disbursements and payments of credit. This means that clients of Banco Compartamos can now use these channels as an alternate option to the traditional points that we have with various banks and correspondents. The rest of the branch infrastructure will follow suit in the next coming months. Now, the remittance business is extremely promising for us. For example, Mexico received approximately $23 billion in international remittances flows in 2014. Now, that represents 80 million transactions in the year. 63 of all those remittances are concentrated in 10 Mexican states, which coincide with the 10 strongest states in the Compartamos network. And we know well that a typical Compartamos client is also a typical remittance receiver. This is why entering the remittance business is so strategic for Gentera. Now, Aterna, Gentera's microfinance broker, reached 4 million active life insurance policies during this quarter. This figure is key as we consider Aterna a crucial growth product for the creation of social value to all of the markets that we serve. And last but not least, we continue to build our innovation portfolio in an ambitious effort to help our operations evolve into the digital world. We have several greenfields which are very promising, and we will share the results as they become relevant in the future of Gentera. Now, to close, and before I turn the call over to Enrique Mayos, one last item at the Banco Compartamos was the confirmation by Fitch ratings of the bank's global as well as local rating, which took place in May. This was a very encouraging accomplishment, as we kept the BBB global investment grade and a AA+ rating for local notes. And with regards to our social programs, during the second quarter of 2015, more than 6,000 employees participated in volunteer activities and programs throughout various local communities, and Gentera invested over 20 million pesos into social responsibility programs, benefiting almost 30,000 people. These programs include financial education, as well as some environmental initiatives. And finally, I want to mention the outlook for the rest of the year. At this point, we're looking at the second half of the year, which traditionally, as I have mentioned, is where we have most of the growth in terms of demand and increased income. As such, we're confident that we are well positioned to reach our guidance for the full year of loan portfolio growth between 15 and 17%, EPS of 1.87 to 1.92 pesos, a return on assets of around 9%, and a return on equity in the mid-20s. Now, thank you for your attention, and I will now turn the call over to Enrique Mayos, who will review in detail the performance of our financial services.
Thank you, Carlos, and thank you all for your presence in this second quarter conference. We are pleased to report that our second quarter results are in line with what we guided for the year, and we are on track to accomplish our 2015 goals as expected. As Carlos already mentioned, total portfolio for Gentera reached 25.5 billion pesos, a 13.4 increase compared with the same quarter of last year. As every quarter, I would like to explain the most relevant results regarding our business operation and point out some of the relevant improvements on our execution. Let me start with the acquisition and retention of clients. Since the beginning of the second quarter, but more specifically in June of this year, we observed a ramp up of our customer growth rate. Group lending products in Mexico, with a 1.4% monthly growth, has the highest growth rate in the last 14 months. This growth is in addition to the increasing trend of clients for this product in Peru and Guatemala. Also for Mexico, Credit Individual, which was in a controlling phase since last year, is now growing again with a clear positive trend. In June, we reached 3.1% monthly increase in the number of clients in this product, the best figure in the last 24 months. Peru has now 93,000 group lending customers, which represents 49% increase in a year-to-year basis. And Guatemala has reactivated again the growth of its customer base, closing the second quarter with 64,000 customers. At the same time, customer retention rate in Mexico got to a new historic record figure. Total customer retention rate increased up to 85.2%, while Crédito Mujer by itself got to a historic 87% of retention rate. Also, we are increasing our individual lending customer retention rate to almost 50%, and we expect additional improvements on this indicator. And regarding the quality of our portfolio, as we anticipated in previous quarterly reports, NPL indicators are improving if we compare them with the last two quarters. Carlos has already mentioned that total NPL for Gentera decreased from 3.6% at the end of the first quarter to 3.04%. But I will only like to point out that Mexico has a 2.45% NPLs compared with the 3.12% at the end of last quarter, and that improvement in NPLs was present in every group of products that the bank offers. Now, generally speaking, our micro insurance products are growing very successfully. The percentage of customers that acquire a voluntary microinsurance policy has increased in every group of customers of credit, as well as in the three countries in which we operate. After this overview of our business operation, let me now point out that specifically in Mexico, most of these results are explained by the successful impact of our loyalty marketing campaign. As we explained in previous reports, the campaign is based on a rebate that our customers from group lending products can earn by renewing their loans with us by having a good payment behavior. Improvements in customer retention rate, increase on average amount of credit, and quality of our portfolio were clearly an outcome from this strategy. On the other hand, the investment on this strategy has no precedence compared with what we used to do in terms of marketing. It is important to point out that this is a one-timer strategy, and we do not expect this reduction in our margins to be permanent. As we mentioned before, 70% of the loyalty marketing campaign investment was going to be made during the first half of the year, and therefore only 30% of the total investment is remaining for the second half, so we can expect significant lower impact in our margins during the rest of the year. Something also relevant to communicate is the progress on our savings project. As we have explained, in order to be able to offer a complete set of products and services around savings, it is necessary to place a whole ecosystem integrated by a competitive product, access to convenient opening and transactional channels, and payment tools. As you know, we are in the process to implement a pilot in Puebla to test the complete ecosystem. And we can tell you that we are happy to inform that the ecosystem is not running and giving us very good preliminary results. Some of the main elements of this test are the product, the Yastas transactional points, the integration of the Intermex branches, and the new Compartamos transactional branches in the region. Acceptance of the product from a standalone customer of savings products, as well as synergies with the existing credit customers, are some of the hypotheses and indicators that we want to confirm on this test. The test will last for the next 12 months. And just to give further information regarding our operation in Peru, I would like to remember that we are improving our commercial model for the individual lending products in order to have more and better information about the local market. At the same time, this new operational model will make us more efficient in the way our loan officers serve and maintain their local markets and their clients. The first solid results of this change will show up by the end of this year and the beginning of the next one, and we foresee a learning curve that will temporarily slow down our growth for the individual lending portfolio for the next 3 to 6 months. And just to close my remarks, I would like to express, as in previous quarterly reports, that we feel comfortable with our guidance of the year, and we believe that the projects we are investing on are critical for the future of the company. And now, let me open the space to Patricio, who will go deeply on the financial results.
Thank you, Enrique. I will now review Gentera financials before we move to the Q&A session. Interest income reached $3.9 billion, an 11.4% increase compared with the second quarter of 2014. During this quarter, we reclassified expenses related to the loyalty program, and they were deducted from the operating expense line and were deducted from this line item to better reflect the underlying benefit, which is a price reduction for loyal and long-standing customers. The impact in this quarter was 265 million pesos and 507 million pesos for the first 6 months of the year. As a result, the yield of Gentera's portfolio stood at 63.2% during the first 6 months of the year. Interest expense increased by 11 million pesos or 5.3% compared with the second quarter of last year. This is well below the 22% liability growth and is a reflection of the efforts made towards refinancing expensive facilities and lowering the cost of funds. As a result, net interest margin for the second quarter reached 54.5%, a decrease from the 55.8% reported in the previous quarter. Provision for loan losses increased by 24.1% compared with the second quarter of 2014, below the 26.4% growth in our NPL. This is a reflection of the controls in place to maintain good asset quality. Non-performing loans stood at 3%, with every one of our products well within the ranges we have discussed to be considered adequate asset quality. On top of this, coverage for expected losses reached 172%, also in line with expectations we have communicated in the past, which is a cost of credit close to 8% of the portfolio. As a result, NIM after provisions rose 3.2 billion and 9.9% increase compared with the 2.9 billion pesos in the second quarter of 2014. It stood at 46.6% compared with the 48.5% in the second quarter of last year. Commissions and fee income increased by 37% to 289 million pesos compared with the previous quarter. This line item mainly reflected late payments charged to clients with delinquent loans and at Banco Compartamos and Compartamos Financiera, life insurance fees generated at Aterna, and the fees generated in Yastas, also by the Intermex remittance business, which we now include in our results. Fee expenses increased 198 million pesos, a 17.2% increase versus second quarter of 2014. This line item mainly includes fees charged by third parties for loan disbursement and collection to Banco Compartamos, as well as fees related to the operation of Yasta. Other operating losses were 21 million pesos, related mostly to donations during the quarter. As you know, we give 2% of our annual net income as social for social projects, which is part of these results. For the full year, 33 million pesos of income were registered, mostly represented by the recovery of recent of loans and VAT recovery from the Mexican authorities. Expenses tend to be heavier toward the first half of the year, which is when we invest most on the required infrastructure, and as a consequence, during the second quarter, operating expenses grew by 19.9%. During the first half, operating expenses grew by 12.5%, and for the quarter, these expenses can be explained as follows. Salaries and benefits represented approximately 1.5 million billion pesos, or 66.7% of operating expenses. Gentera subsidiaries jointly totaled 19,876 employees, an increase of 6.1% compared with the second quarter of last year. Due to the integration of Intermex employees as well as the growth of loan officers required in Peru to grow Crédito Mujer locally, explains this increase. As of the end of the quarter, Gentera had 656 service offices in Mexico, 59 in Peru, and 31 in Guatemala, for a total number of 746 service offices. Expenses related to these service offices represented 440 million pesos, or 19.8% of operating expenses. Strategic projects such as SAP handhelds, deposit pilot projects, and the correspondent manager represented 300 million pesos of 13.5% of the operating expenses during the second quarter of this year. Efficiency was above the mid-60s range that we have discussed, reaching 67.4% for the first semester. In the coming months, as interest income grows due to the traditionally higher demand for credit during the second half of the every year, and as we see the slowdown in the loyalty program benefits, we expect to finalize the year within the ranges we guided for this ratio. Participation in net loss from non-consolidated subsidiaries amounted 9 million pesos for the quarter, and an accumulated of a loss of 16 million pesos in 2015. This loss is our investment in Nimoni, a new venture, and part of our innovation portfolio, in which we invested last year and which aims to develop technology to predict losses and reduce the origination costs for the group. Gentera's reported net income of 680 million pesos, an increase of 3.8% compared with the second quarter of 2014. It's important to mention that in the history of the company, during the first half of every year, we normally deliver 45% of the net income guidance. To conclude, net income stood at 1.4 billion pesos, or 10.4% growth, in line with top-line growth and heading to meet the annual EPS expectation. Thank you for your attention. We can now move to the Q&A session on the call.
Thank you. At this time, we will open the floor for your questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key on your touch-tone phones now. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, just press star 2. Again, to ask a question, please press star 1 now. And we now have our first question coming from Frederic Demaris from UBS.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for the conference call. A couple of questions on my side. The first one on asset quality. We saw some write-offs in the past. We also saw that the NPL improved by segment, and we're well within the range you indicated a few quarters ago. I wanted to have more, a bit of your color and your view on the field in terms of what you're seeing in terms of asset quality, and also a bit of guidance for where we should finish the year. If the NPL was 3.0% in the second quarter, where do you think we should have a reasonable NPL at the end of this year? That's the first question. Second question is on the OPEX. I think, Patricio, you mentioned you would be within the guidance for this year in the mid-60s, and obviously we were a bit above in the quarter, around 67. My question is more in terms of granularity. Can you give a bit more color in terms of what you can cut really in the second half? Where do you feel that you have discretion? You know, what line of OPEX do you feel you can control better in the second half? Thank you.
Thank you, Frederick. This is Enrique Mayor. And regarding your questions around asset quality, we feel comfortable with the levels of assets we have now, and we feel comfortable because we know that this quality is the product or it is a result of the way we are managing and addressing our portfolio in the field and with the customers. As we have mentioned before, our asset quality level should be between 4 and 6% for the following years. We believe we are in very good shape now. And yes, what we are observing is since last year we and in some products we have having an important growth in the portfolio. Some of the provisions have been growing, and that's why you're observing some movement there. But those are products of the growth we have had in the past, and we believe that we will maintain our NPLs in very healthy and normal level for the rest of the year.
Just on the asset quote, do you think we should work with something close to 3%, or should we... Do you feel you're going to go closer to the guidance of 4 to 6, which is more of a long-term guidance, if I understand you well?
You know, eventually we were going to be close to the 4 to 6% because of the mix of the products. And so I believe that a slightly increase will be very natural, but we don't see a dramatic change there.
That's great. Thanks.
And in terms of the OPEX, Fred, as we discussed during the call, expenses for the infrastructure tend to be heavier in the first half of the year, so should not be expected such amount of operating expenses in the second part. But most notably, the expenses related to the loyalty programs in the first half of this year were 507 million pesos. In the second half of the year, it will be half of it. So it will increase interest income on top of the high demand that we expect for portfolio. So we'll have a stronger income line and not necessarily such a large of amount of investments in infrastructure or something related to employees. And this is how we think that we can deliver the mid-60s range for the efficiency for this year. And as we mentioned, going forward, we do expect to remain within these ranges because, again, all the investments that we've made for the transformation of the group are taking place, and they will gradually start to see the results on greater income mostly.
That's great. Thank you for the color.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Eduardo Rosman from BTG Pactual.
Hi, good morning, everyone. I have two questions. The first one is on net interest margins. Actually, in 2013 and 2014, we saw your NIMs improving, right? And if we adjust for the loyalty program expenses, probably your NIMs are also going up again in 2015, right? So I wonder, how we should think about your NIMs going forward? So if rates goes up, do you still think that NIMs can remain at current levels in 2016? So that would be question number one. And my question number two would be on fee income. In 2014, we saw like a growth of almost 50% in your fee income, and probably we're going to see something similar to that in this year as well, or even more. So how we should think about this line going forward? Right? So that's the question number two. Thanks a lot.
Okay, thank you, Eduardo. And in terms of, let's forget for a second of the loyalty program. NIM, what has happened with the active rate of the group? As we grow in products like Crédito Comerciante, which has a higher cost than Crédito Mujer, active rate has actually increased slightly, and not necessarily the cost of funds have increased in the same proportion. So this is why the NIM for the company, excluding this line item, grew like 19% in the first 6 months of 2015. This is why we were very aggressive on the loyalty program, because we've seen the strength of the margins, because we do not see still any competitive pressure or nothing like that compress the margins. So as Carlos mentioned during his remarks, this is something that we can talking about now the loyalty program, this is something that we can put on and off rather quickly, and we will play with it as we want to be aggressive in the marketplace to gain more customers. So in a quick response, we see strong margins. Yes, the rate will go up, but what we are doing is actually refinancing debt that has a higher spread on credit. So this is why even if we see a 25 or 50 bps increase, we won't see a material impact in the margins in the next years or so. So you should consider that the margins should remain stable as they have been during the last years. And in terms of the fee income has increased because, again, we are trying to develop new products and services that generate fees for the group. As you know, now Intermex has a fee-driven business. It generates around 30 million fees per quarter. And on top of that, fees related to the insurance, fees related to delinquent customers. So this is why we have widened the gap between the fee income and the fee expense that we normally do. And this is something that should continue, but again, what we said is that the difference between both should be around 150 million pesos for this year.
Oh, great. Thanks a lot, Patricio.
Thank you, Laura.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Carlos Macedo from Goldman Sachs.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking the questions. I have a couple of questions. First, approaching the asset quality from a different angle, obviously you're below the standards that, or the limits that you set for asset quality, for the NPL ratio. My question is there room to be more aggressive? Asset quality is very resilient and improved quite materially. Is there room for you to be more aggressive in your growth? Growth decelerated for almost every single product with the exception of individual growth. Individual loans, is there room for you to take a more aggressive stance in pushing out, Tu Mujer, another product, or should we just look at this as a steadier growth level with a lower NPL, even though you did say that in the medium term NPL levels will increase again. Second question is, we talked a lot about the subsidiaries and they appear to be doing really well. When you look at just adding up the three big subsidiaries in Mexico, Peru, and Guatemala, you get to almost the net income level that you reported for the quarter, whereas last quarter there was something like a 25 million peso difference. I attribute that to the subsidiaries like Yastas and Eterna and now Intermex. Is the change from last quarter to this quarter attributable to Intermex, or was there something more? Are these subsidiaries now breaking even? When can we expect them to break even? Thanks.
Thank you, Carlos. And it is a very interesting question around the asset quality and the room for growth. And maybe the answer, the short answer is yes. I think we have room to be more aggressive in growth, and actually that's what we are doing. Our loyalty program is very aggressive, and I think that the growth that we are looking in the previous months is a clear indicator of that. But I will also point out what you were mentioning around the other strategic products and projects that we have. We believe that Credito Individual is a big opportunity, not only in Peru, which is a very mature market for that product, but also in Mexico. So yes, we feel very comfortable with our NPLs level because we believe that level gives us the oxygen to better move strategically and commercially in the market and with our business strategy.
Okay, and in terms of the subsidiaries, yes, they are doing well as we have expected. The most notable change in our subsidiaries is in the past, JASTAS had a VAT recovery, not litigation, but process with the Mexican authorities. And this was driving net income for this company. This year we recovered 60 million pesos in this VAT for the previous years that we didn't have in past. And this is why the results of JASTAS have that benefit that has, as you said, increased the subsidiary results if you add them up together. But again, on top of that, yes, Guatemala, Peru, and now Intermex are adding up income to the group, and this is a trend that should be expected going forward.
Okay, thanks for the answer.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Lillian Stark from Morgan Stanley.
Hi, good morning, and thank you for taking my call. I have three questions. The first one is, we're looking at the growth in clients, which is still at the low single digit. You have seen some migration from group to individual, but it appears that it's still quite little. It also seems that individual is growing out again. So the question would be is, how is your individual product different this time from what you saw in 2013 or the last time you tried pushing this product? And should we expect that the number of clients would start to pick up going into the second half? My second question is if you can give us an update on your thinking around mobile banking. And then the third question is regarding the write-offs in Crédito Mujer. And in general, in Mexico, we saw an important increase this quarter. What could we expect going forward, and as well, what could that mean in terms of the provisioning?
Okay. Thank you, Lilian. Let me address your first questions regarding Crédito Individual and the growth in clients. And yes, we believe that we are now starting in this controlling and growing stages that we always are moving in microcredit. We believe that the controlling phase for Crédito Individual is now over, and we are starting the growing phase. What are we doing different from last time? I can tell you that we mainly did two things. We reinforce the policies and the methodology, the evaluation and risk management methodology for the product. So that makes us more comfortable in the growth, not only in clients, but also in the amount we are lending to each one of them, because we also believed that we should move a little bit upper in the average credit if we really want to address the natural market for Crédito Individual. We were serving clients a little bit below from the natural market, so that's the first thing. And the other thing we did was that we reinforced the way we organize our sales force and the supervision that we make to that sales force to really be closer to that methodology and to that operation of the business in the field with very with people that have at a management, mid-management level in the organization, with people that have experience in this kind of product. So I can tell you that we feel comfortable with this new growing phase that we are starting in the product.
And Lilian, this is Carlos. Talking about mobile banking, and I mentioned this a little bit in my speech, one thing that we're very actively doing is trying to build an innovation portfolio. We realize that in the near future, a lot of the ways that we serve our clients and a lot of the products that we serve our clients need to migrate into the emerging digital economy, if you will, and mobile banking certainly is in the core of that. We do envision a future where increasingly there will be less use of cash and more use of electronic money, as well as more use of interacting with clients through digital platforms, mostly mobile phones and such. So a lot of these, there's a lot of innovation in the so-called fintech arena, and we're very actively looking at those innovations. I would say that in many ways we're still at the early stages, in the sense that even though there's a lot of innovation going on, for most of that innovation there's still low levels of adoption by users, and specifically for base of the pyramid clients, I think this becomes very, very relevant. A few of the pieces still need to go in. We're seeing increasing numbers of base of the pyramid clients connected via mobile and smartphones, but there's still room to grow there. And the other issue, the other piece that still needs to be better in place is the regulation. There is still regulation uncertainty in some fronts in terms of mobile banking or electronic money, and certainly in terms of certain incentives that need to be in place to reduce the use of cash in the economies that we work at. But we are testing mobile solutions. So Enrique talked briefly about what we're doing in savings, and because it is a new product and we're testing many things about it now, we are incorporating the use not only of debit cards but also the potential use of mobile money. And again, we believe that the future certainly is in that space, but it's still a few years away in terms of everything coming together. But we're very actively looking at those innovation portfolios. That also, Patricio mentioned, we've made investment in online lenders and in the use of other mechanisms and tools given by the digital economy to be able to assess risk and to underwrite loans. So we're very enthusiastic of what this might bring in the medium term.
And on the right off side, Lilian, as you know, we write off loans at 180 days. By that time, the recovery rates are very low, and at 180 days, at 100% reserved. So what normally happens is when you see a hiccup in NPL, we need to wait until the 180 days to write off the loan. So the write off that you see is part of the cleaning up process that normally happens as NPLs go up. We are writing off loans that were originated in 2014. And again, what Enrique mentioned, what we see today, it's good asset quality in the short-term vintages, so we do not expect, we are expecting 8% cost of credit for this year and should remain stable.
Okay, sorry, thank you very much for the responses.
Thank you, Lilian.
Thank you. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press *1 on your touchtone phones now. Our next question comes from Tito Labarta from Deutsche Bank.
Hi, good morning, and thanks for the call. You also answered my question in terms of the cost of credit, but just to follow up a little bit, you said it should go back to around 8%. It did spike up a little bit this quarter, I guess because of the write-offs and also growing in the higher-risk segments. But maybe, and also if you look at your coverage, it also increased, right, to about 172%. So I guess the simple question which you answered is that should come back down, I guess, for the second half of the year. So maybe thinking longer term, you're provisioning a lot more than your NPLs, and even except for this quarter, typically than what you had been writing off. So is there even some room for that to come down in the longer term? Or did you expect to continue to provision around 8% of loans in the long term? Thanks.
Okay, now in terms of the cost of credit, as you know, when we talk about figures, we normally talk about the full year financial, no? For all the cost of credit should be analyzed for the full year financials. When you write off loans and your NPLs decrease, What normally happens is that the coverage ratio actually increases, right? So this is something related to, as you mentioned, due to the write-off that we had during the quarter, the slowdown in NPLs, and this is why the coverage ratio increased from the previous quarter. Going towards the end of this year, again, now we expect this 8% cost of credit. But as Enrique mentioned, as we move to riskier products in the years to come, as the portfolio mix changes and riskier products take a larger piece of the portfolio, the cost of credit should actually increase going forward. But this is why the analysis should be made on a per product basis to really assess what's the adequate asset quality for the group.
Perfect. That's very helpful. Thanks, Patricio.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Vinet Surana from HSBC.
Hi, thank you very much for the call. I have one question. Can you tell us the duration of your client loyalty program? Till when will this go on? Thank you.
In terms of loyalty program, yes, what we thought is it's a program that should be standing for the full 2015. As we mentioned in our remarks, most of the expenses related to this loyalty program took place in the first half of this year, 507 million pesos. We expect to maintain this program for the second part, but only 240 million pesos should be spent for this program specifically.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Frederick DeMaris from UBS.
Thank you. Just to follow up on my side, can you give us an update on competition, what you're seeing both locally and nationally? Thank you.
Sure. Frederick, I think that competition is, as we have seen, not only in the recent quarters, but in the recent years, it is, we are having more players. Some of them are remaining in the market, some of them are not. We believe that having more players is pressuring all the institutions to have better products and better ways to address our customers. And I think that a very clear way to see this in Compartamos specifically is the loyalty program and this initiative that we are making to trying to address better our customer needs. So what I can tell you is we are strong and we feel strong in our knowledge of the market and the client, and we believe that having a more competitive environment is a good thing, and we believe that that competitive market is increasing slightly over time. Some players are getting in, some others maybe will step down, but at the end, it is a slightly and permanent increase on competition, and that will make us better in the way we serve our clients. Our strategic strength in this sense has been, and we believe is, always our knowledge of the market and the client, and I think that's the way the industry has to evolve.
And just to compliment Fred, this is Carlos. Like Enrique mentioned, in the past few years, what we haven't seen really is the strength of more national players. It's mostly local players, and the national players that we were competing with a few years ago have actually weakened quite a bit.
That's good. Thank you.
Thank you. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press *1 on your touchtone phones now. Our next question comes from Martin Lara from Actinver Securities.
Yes, good morning. I have two questions. The first one is the performance of the Crédito Mujer product. There was a slowdown in the second quarter. So what should you expect going forward? That's the first question. And the second one is the amount of savings at Banco Compartamos, if you could provide us the figure.
Thank you, Martin. Well, the performance of, as we have been pointing out since several reports before, we have to see the Crédito Mujer and Crédito Comerciante products as part of this, of the offer to a same segment, which we call a group lending product. And we have some migration between Crédito Mujer and Crédito Comerciante since customers want, in some cases, more flexibility with the product, and then if they were clients of Crédito Mujer, they might want to move to Crédito Comerciante. As you can see, Crédito Comerciante has been growing a lot in the last quarter, and it's still growing, and we believe that if you take together these two products, the performance of the group lending products is quite as we expected, and is still growing.
And on the savings side, as you know, we do have a savings pilot still, 120,000 accounts in Mexico, approximately 35 million pesos in savings from our customers. So we are still reliant on the wholesale market to fund this business. So as Enrique mentioned, the next phase of the savings pilot is taking place in Puebla. It will length for a year, and as we move along and we have more indicators on the performance of this saving pilot, we'll let you know.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touchtone phones now. Again, that is star 1 if you would like to ask a question. And at this time, I'm showing no further questions in the queue. I'd now like to turn the call back over to Mr. Donnell for closing remarks.
Thank you, operator, and we want to thank everyone who connected to the call today. And as always, thank you for your time, your interest. We look forward to this second half of 2015. And if you do have any other issues or remarks, please feel free to contact us, and we look forward to our next conference call. Thank you very much, and have a good day.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's teleconference. You may now disconnect.